in the Bose app, you can give your headphones a name, and I named them the Solitude. Which is, by the way, awesome because it's advertised by Bluetooth and apps use it. So it's like we were using Zoom and I like switched, like I turned them on and it was like, you're now listening on the Solitude or something like that.
Solitude. That's nice.
What's up?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Do you have any like specific thoughts in mind as for, you know, how to do it, or you just want to roll?
My goal for this episode is to speak more than just yeah. Which is what we do by day, working out. Let's go again. Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Radek.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read and want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day, working on our app, Nosby.
Or whatever else comes to our minds.
Today, we will be talking about tracking measures and your geekness, right?
Okay, yeah. I think you have questions about my magical spreadsheet.
Yeah. So, The thing about a theme from many books that we read recently and from a book that I'm reading right now is that measuring things is helpful. And I remember that even you mentioned when you were, you know, measuring your kilograms, it was kind of helpful. I mean, you still didn't know why, you know, you had this amount of kilograms and not, you know, less or more. But still, it was kind of, you know, gave you like an idea. But anyway, measuring things is important, and I think you are the guy to go or to ask as far as daily measuring of things is concerned, because you have the magic spreadsheet. And I am a newbie in this. I just adapted this thing, of course, thanks to your influence. So today we'll talk about measuring, about daily tracking, about your magic spreadsheet, about my way of doing the magic spreadsheet, and about all the questions and doubts that I have about it, and all the excitement we have with that.
That sounds like a plan. So maybe first I'll explain
why
I'm doing this, and then what and how.
All right.
So one thing that has been repeating over and over on this show, both in our own kind of development as as people and in the things we do at Nosby, and just also a lot of things we've been reading and learning and thinking about over the last year or two, the theme is feedback loops. So we've just been seeing over and over again how just crucial it is to everything. Like if you want to learn and improve at anything, you need a feedback loop. Otherwise, you're just confused and there's no clarity about how you're doing and what you can do to improve. But here's the thing about feedback loops. It comes with two elements, feedback and the loop.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about the loop and in terms of just, you know, kind of trying to improve your life and stuff. There's, you know, we talk a lot about the weekly review and also mentioned how we do something more in depth every season or every quarter and every year. But then to make the loop, to make the review, you need the feedback or the data. So that's where the magic table, the magic spreadsheet comes in. It's a way to track data about yourself, about your data, about whatever you find important and interesting, so you can actually improve on it. So here's what I do, okay? I have a table, a spreadsheet, and it just has a row for every day, right? And it has a column for every kind of data I want to track. For example, if you want to track your weight, there's a weight column, right? And I've been doing this since 2010, so for almost 7 years, actually. And when I started it, I've had two ideas in mind. First of all, I wanted to lose weight. So I wanted to start tracking my weight, which was not working, despite the fact that I was collecting the data until 2016. And also, I wanted to track how much time I spent on a few different things. So for example, in 2010, I was learning English like crazy. So I was tracking every day how much time I spent practicing. And also I used this app to help me learn and remember words and phrases. We talked about spaced repetition learning before. We'll put the link in the show notes. So I also tracked the number of words in my system, right? So that was very useful. And also at the time I was still at school, so I was tracking like how much time I wasted or spent doing homework and stuff. And over time it evolved a lot. So I stopped tracking things that were no longer important to me, or just made them simpler. So I just started tracking them with less precision. And I started tracking new things as I've had new projects, new ideas, just new things I wanted to improve or things I started caring about. So that's the basic idea behind the magic table, right? And you put data in every day, and the purpose of it is so you can see patterns, you can make better decisions, and you see the trend, the direction in which you're going. And then when you have the second part of the puzzle, which I didn't in 2010, I started tracking things for whatever reason, it just came to my mind. But it took a while until I had the second part, which is the weekly review. And then during the weekly review, you can just look back at the last week and see, hey, I've not been doing very well with this thing, why, and what can I do to improve? And the data is useful because if this is something like difficult, something quantifiable like weight or number of hours spent doing X, you can see it over long periods of time also. But it's not just a vague subjective sense of how you've been doing, because sometimes that can fool you, right? Sometimes you feel particularly good or bad about the week just because of other things in your life, just good mood, whatever. But actually, it doesn't reflect the reality, right? And when you have any sort of data, then it's better. And then perhaps more importantly, you can also look at the data in larger chunks of time. So the last week, you probably remember quite well. But then during your monthly or quarterly or yearly review, when you have like imagine you're doing your annual review and you have 365, you know, bits of data. And that's just like you can notice things in that, and you can see, you know, things about the whole year. Have I been better or worse at X this year, right? And I found it very useful. Like it's a totally super geeky thing to do, but the only reason why I've kept doing it and started doing it more and more actually over time, is because it really is useful. It's super useful.
Yeah. So first of all, isn't it? You know, that was my first question when we talked about it before, when I started, you know, doing this. Isn't that tedious? You know, you just put information to the spreadsheet every day, you know, to track so many things. And like, does it really make sense? I mean, isn't that just too much work? It's like with tasks and productivity. If you write too many tasks, then it's just too much. And maybe just instead of writing a task, you just do it, you know? So here is the same thing. Like, isn't that really tedious for you to input all this data?
See, that's the thing. So when I mentioned this to you, you said you've been doing it weekly with some things. And the counterintuitive thing is that it's much, much easier to do it daily than weekly. Because here's the thing, here's a technical consideration. The way I do this, I use Apple Numbers, so the Apple version of Excel. And on my Mac, I just have it open in full screen all the time. So it's one of the spaces and I can like swipe to it at any moment. So it just like when I, for example, finish work and I want to put a bit of data about work, like the number of hours spent in deep work, like it literally takes me 5 seconds, right? Or when I wake up, check my weight, then it takes me like, you know, 5 seconds to put it in. And like, there's not a whole lot of data. There's just like a few fields for each day. And because you're doing it during the day, like all the time, it's just part of, you know, it's like pulling out your phone. It's always there. It takes pretty much no effort on my part. On the other hand, if you try to do it weekly, then you have to like sit down for 10 or 20 minutes, think about what happened, try to count up some data. that sounds tedious. But when it's like just part of your general way of doing everything, which it became for me over time, but again, it's a habit, right? It evolved and I started doing it more over time. Then it just becomes, you know, completely transparent, like so simple that it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and what I discovered using it, I mean, I'm on the third week now, so 3 weeks tracking, you know, single data points every day. What I've discovered is that the data that you put each day is a lot more accurate than the data that I would put weekly, because weekly we tend to overestimate lots of things, you know, and we tend to try to feel either good or too bad about ourselves. So what happens is that you might want to say, yeah, so I did, you know, around 10 hours of that, which might be true and might not be true. And and this way, when you put the data every day, you literally don't allow yourself to round things up too much, you know, or round things down. What I also discovered, you know, over this past 3 weeks, is that it's pretty the feedback loop is shorter. So when you see one day that you did something right, and then the other day you did something not as right as you would want it to be, you can correct, you know, on the following day. So the feedback loop also is it helps the, you know, daily feedback loop, the daily accomplishment of things.
Yeah, that's precisely right. And again, it's just it's not even daily, but like all the time. It's very simple. Like it's a technical consideration. I don't know if you're using Windows, I don't know how I would do it, but on the Mac it's just so simple, right? It takes no time, no effort, and you immediately see the comparison.
Yeah. So another thing, what do you track? Like can we discuss that? I mean, thing? Because what I discovered is that, you know, in the beginning I created a pretty simple spreadsheet, but then it grew pretty big. So I over 3 weeks I added a few more columns to my spreadsheet. Because I thought it might be useful to track this and track that. So I'm not sure if I didn't overdo it, you know. But on the other hand, these are all things that I maybe should or probably would track. I don't know. Well, let's compare it. Like, let's see what you track.
Yeah. So here's my current status, and this is the status now, right? It looked a bit different half a year ago or 2 years ago. It looked very different 5 years ago. So it's always like evolving. So I'm not saying this is what anyone else should do. It's just what I do at the moment. So if you're talking about overdoing, there were some things that I've been tracking with much more precision in the past, and I just stopped doing it after a while because I felt like it's more precision than I need, and it was just tedious to have this data that was not important to me. But I don't think it's a bad thing. If you see after a while, I don't need it, it's too much, you can delete it. It's no problem. So anyway, here's my current status. I track my weight. So this is just, you know, a cell with a number in kilograms. I track exercise. So what I do is I just have a checkbox, which is like, did I have like a workout today? And this way I can just see like how different weeks look like. I obviously, now that I have an Apple Watch, I track my workouts with much more precision in the app, so I can always see that data. But like the point here is to see if I had a real workout, you know, next to other bits of data. So very simple. Then I'm tracking time spent in deep work. So I added this in May last year after reading the book Deep Work, and I felt like, wow, this is really important, and I'm not very good at this. I want to get better at this, so I should better track this. And I do. And what I do is just after I finish work each day, I put the number. Now, this is like, obviously, it's a bit of an estimate. I try to remember to just jot down on my, you know, just on the paper pad. Like when I have like bigger transitions in work, so maybe like I started some meeting here and ended there, so that's obviously not deep work. But like I don't stress too much about it. Like during the day, that's enough precision, right? I can be off by half an hour, or whatever. That's not that important. Next to it, I also track time spent doing deliberate practice. So again, we talked about deliberate practice, the book Peak. Lots of great things there. I started tracking it recently, maybe a month or so ago. So that's a new thing. But I want to get much better at it this year, so I'm tracking it. Then I track which days I actually get up at 8 o'clock sharp. So that's been one thing I've been trying to learn and have last year, to be really consistent about my sleep schedule. So I just, again, it's a checkbox, or it's a drop-down list so that it just shows a thumbs up emoji, but it's essentially a checkbox, right? Next to it, related thing, which days I read in the morning. So that's another habit that I've been trying to create, that in the morning, instead of browsing Twitter, I read. And there's two things, like I expect maybe when the year is out, I just feel like this is, you know, my second nature now and I just don't need to track that anymore. And that's fine. But for now, those two are not kind of set in stone. I sometimes regress, so I want to track those. Then there's a field for, I don't have to explain, it's like a rating for the day. It's like asking a question, how was your day, right? So it's like, you know, it was great, or it was good, or it was okay, or it was, you know, not so good. So it's a subjective thing. Like that's the point. So it sometimes has to do with like, do you just feel good? Like is the mood good? Is productivity good? Your personal things, like whatever. It's just like if I was to rate my day in you know, in 5 stars or something like that. And then I have a larger field in which I just type a few words about what I did that day, right? It's just 2 lines for each row, so it's like a micro journal.
Mm-hmm.
And I can explain in a moment why, like, what's the purpose of the last two.
Okay, so I track more things than you do now. A lot more things. So I'll just go through mine then, and then mm-hmm. we'll compare. So So with the fitness, I'm more thorough because anyway, I wanted to track it more. I have certain goals. I'm a triathlete, so mm-hmm. I do biking, running, and swimming every week. Like a few of the trainings, if possible. For example, this week I didn't do any bike rides, so I have zero there. I went for a run only once, so it's there. But then I went swimming twice. So, like, and the thing is that I put the kilometers because I want to sum up. I have a goal, a weekly goal of kilometers I want to hit with all of these trainings. So, so I put, for example, bike ride. You know, when I was out for, like, let's say 39 kilometers, I would just put 39. Right, run. Yesterday I did a 6.6 kilometer run, so I did 6.6. Swimming, you know. I did 1.6, for example, in the swimming pool. I just put 1.6. So I just put the, you know, the numerical data, and then the end of the week, I add a row to sum it up, which is just very easy. I just copy the row from above and just paste it there, and I have all the sums ready for me. So I see, you know, how far I've come, you know, with all these trainings. It's really nice because then I see weekly trends. So I see which week I was training more, I was training less. Of course, I can get all these details in my apps, Runkeeper, and also on the activity on the iPhone. But thanks to this spreadsheet, I just see the trends, you know, and I think it's pretty helpful. Then I also try to track my weight, but I also track it, you know, with Withings app, because I have the Withings scale, so it's automatically uploaded to my iPhone. But I put it here to as a reference, also to see the trends. And I also track my body fat.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, recently I just wanted to see if more training, you know, turns into, you know, more muscles and things like that. So I want to see the trend there as well. And luckily it's looking pretty good. So, and then business side, it's, I think I mentioned some in past episodes, that I have like a perfect week. We'll talk about this concept a little bit later down the line. But so I haven't outlined a perfect week. What I like in the perfect world, the perfect week, where I would be spending my time. So mm-hmm. when would I do some marketing activities? When would I work on the product? When would I work on my blog? Like CEO stuff, writing, deliberate practice, review. So things like that. So I have them outlined, and I have my, you know, my target numbers up there. And yeah, and I'm just putting there, you know, putting them in each cell. And then I have a like a last column is work. So it sums up all the work, right? Mm. So I can see, you know, how many billable hours I did this day, you know? I call it billable hours. It's this concept from law firms that, you know, that they only count the hours they spend on the client. So in my case, what we discussed in one of the past episodes where you shared how many really good hours you had in each day, it's mm-hmm. the same thing. I want to see how many good hours I had. So, for example, last week I had 34.5 hours, which was really a lot because we were doing three webinars, so they were they took lots of my time. But I really worked a lot last week. We had the promotion and everything. But for example, the week before that, I did 21 hours, which wasn't that good, you know. Like, so you could like I could see, you know, my time being, you know, spent on different, you know, less important things, less strategic things. And this way I can, you know, thanks to the feedback loop, I can see where I spent my time, you know, how much time I spent. I really did spend on marketing, product and everything. So I can hopefully every week, you know, improve because, you know, I don't want to be working 20 hours. I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't mean I'm not at work 40 hours. It's just, exactly. You know, if it were that I was just 20 hours really working and the rest of the time I would spend, you know, on the beach or whatever, it would be a different thing. But I'm tracking really, you know, good hours, you know, so yeah. So then it means, you know, half of my hours were rubbish, so not so good. But what I started to, you know, I added a new column today. Actually, no, yesterday I added a new column called deep work. So the problem is that when I work, like when I write down that I spent, for example, 2 or 3 hours on marketing, it doesn't mean that I spent, you know, 3 hours of deep work on marketing. I maybe, you know, spent an hour of deep work or half an hour of deep work. And then the rest was, you know, back and forth with Magda, back and forth with Natalia, whoever I work with that day. So it's, you know, it's right to, you know, to write 3 hours of marketing, but it's not deep work. So I thought of like...
So when you said like you had, for example, 40 hours of work and not like junk work, that still doesn't mean 40 hours of deep work.
Exactly.
It's just like not administrivia and stuff like that.
Exactly. So, because the shallow work, I mean, the shallow work is also part of my work and it's fine. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to be just, you know, spending the whole time of time of mine on deep work. So that's why I decided to add this additional column to just write how many hours of deep work. That's mm-hmm. it. You know, that doesn't matter if it's marketing, product, whatever. Like how many hours of deep work did I manage to, you know, to get from this day? You know, for me, if like again, part of my work is shallow work because part of my work is like managing stuff. I am a manager also, right?
And meetings,
right? So I do this kind of work, and it's fine. It belongs to my work, and it's, you know, it's okay. But as we discussed in these previous episodes and in the episode about deep work, we should try to track our deep work because we should try to maximize our time in deep work.
Yeah.
Which in my case, as I said, won't be 100% ever, but should be, you know, more than less. That's basically the gist of it. And then I have a few columns with ticks, you know, these ticks in numbers. For example, to track my good habits. So, if I did morning journal and evening journal, you know, just mm-hmm. a tick if it happened. And then if I woke similar to what you have, if I woke up at 7 a.m., because 7 a.m. is when I wake up to take the girls to school. And, you know, when I did wake up at 7 a.m. or not. If I prayed, because like for me, the prayer is also very important. So if I prayed and by prayer, I'm just not. I mean, I'm reading a little bit of Bible and things like that. So it's like it takes a few minutes, like a quarter of an hour, actually. So if I did a meaningful prayer, and I've been struggling with that recently. So the tick is always a good sign if I really did that. And then I have a few other, you know, columns with ticks where I track the content that I posted, shipped. Like outside, because I'd also ship content. Like, for example, if I wrote a no office article, you know, mm-hmm. These are not happening daily, all of these things, but I want to see like weekly if I did, you know, at least one day, you know, one thing. So if I recorded a podcast with you, right? So when did it happen? And then if I did a Nozbe.how template, which I want to do every week, at least one, and it's not happening for it haven't been happening for the last 2 weeks. So and if I send a newsletter, and if I wrote a blog post. So like this content things, again, they don't have to happen daily, but at the end of the week, I want to see when I did something like that, if I ever like did something like that. So I'm not sure if I'm gonna, you know, keep them here in this spreadsheet, but for now they're useful because I can see the holes and I can see, you know, if something happened or not, and they're useful for me for the weekly review, because at the weekly review I can see, you know, on which day I did something.
Yeah, that's very good. That's a lot of data. And I'm pretty sure you'll scale down a little bit with time.
But I think so.
I don't think that's a bad thing, because you'll just, you know, you'll hopefully see that it's useful, but you also see in practice like which things actually matter and which are not that important.
Yeah, you can really see that I am a newbie in this and a rookie, that I just want to have track as much as I can. So typical situation here. But you know, I mean, what I'm discovering is what you just said, is I'm enjoying it and it's not that much work.
Yeah. And one thing that you said was very important was trends. And so I mentioned the table, but then I have like a few other pages in the numbers file with charts. So that's where I can actually see the trends very easily. So the one I've had since I started doing it almost 7 years ago is the weight chart.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you might have seen it. I've posted screenshots to it a few times last year as I've been going through this a transition to being slim, and yeah, it's it's a chart with lots of data. My main spreadsheet is not that long. There's a separate spreadsheet which has all the historical data, and then like has references to the main spreadsheet to fill the data.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it has like year marks, so I can like easily see like 2010, 11, 12, etc., up to 2017. Has the scale, you know, every 2 kilograms. I track it every day. There's some holes in the data, but mostly every day. But the thing about weight that you start seeing easily after a while is that the data has a lot of noise in it. It's just, there's a lot of fluctuations from day to day. It's like, you know, maybe you've drunk less or more, you know, water, stuff like that. It's just, it's fluctuating a lot. So I don't show the daily data. I do like a 7 day running average and show that. So this way I'm smoothing out like random differences, and you can do it quite easily in numbers. And then I have a separate page where I have bar charts for the deep work and deliberate practice that I'm tracking. And the bar charts have, you know, there's a bar chart, there's a number of hours totaled by the week, right? So I track it daily, but what matters is the week. So I count up each week, show it as a bar graph. And you mentioned the perfect week, so I hope you explain that some other show. But what I have on those charts is I have like literally just a horizontal line at the point that I think is the performance I'm shooting for every week. So I can like easily visually see, you know, if I'm shooting my target every week. And so like I have two of these, actually, you know, three, but never mind. And they're like lined up with the bar, so I can like also easily like correlate the differences, just visually see the same weeks.
No, it's I think it's pretty smart that what you're doing is the weekly, you know, smoothing out the things, because we can see from our scale, you know, from our weight, you know, a thing that, you know, it's like one day is this, then the other day is that. So, but the whole week trend is pretty obvious, and that's why it's easier to do it like this. And for me,
and important why to track things like, you know, like your weight every day, because if you track it every week, like, there's a lot of uncertainty about your weight. Like, just one or two measurements mean nothing. You have to see the trend, and for that you have to have at least, you know, two or three samples from the week.
Yeah, totally. The only thing I don't know how to do in numbers is the way, if I have the tick thing, you know, the tick, how to sum it up. It like doesn't really work.
Yeah, so what you can do is just create a separate column which just does this macro that checks if this is true, and it will like change ticks to ones and not ticks to zero. Ah. And then you can hide the column, so you don't have to see it, but you can still like, you know, select to count it up or plug it into a chart or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I've learned a lot about numbers these past 7 years.
I'm sure that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Oh, and also I mentioned the rating / mood, whatever, and the description. And so here's why this is useful. You know, you remember more or less what you did this week, but it's very useful when reviewing past data. So when you're doing your monthly review, for example, like I don't know if you do a monthly review, but I do a monthly review. So just during my week review, I just also took a look at the last 4 or 5 weeks, right? And then it's useful because, you know, there's data you see, but you also want to have a sense of, so what did I spend a lot of time and energy doing, you know, this month or this quarter, right? And the data is, you know, is nice, but also the descriptions, the kind of micro journal, it's kind of useful for me for the context, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also have my kind of journal notes. I can look at those, but they tend to be really long, and, you know, they have a lot of just week to week things. So it's just easier to have this as context. It's not necessary. I found it useful. And, you know, even during the week, like sometimes I was like, you know, during the week review, I'm thinking, what was I doing last Monday? Right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But and this gives me the context. And I'm like, of course. Right. That makes sense. And same with the, you know, the kind of rating. It also, like, it's not particularly like necessary, but it's just, I find it nice that it gives me a bit more context as I'm looking at larger stretches of data, and I'm seeing like, wow, like this kind of long stretch of time, like I did not feel very good about it, and like interesting to see why. And because I have this, you know, subjective feeling and the context of what I've been doing and also the other data, I can try to look at the trends and maybe, you know, notice things I wouldn't notice otherwise. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I found it a bit useful.
No, it's for me the whole point is you know, to have data for the weekly review. That this is the whole point of this, and
yes,
and to have like weekly feedback loop. What happened really? Like how really the week went? You know, I mean this is really crucial for me because we over or underestimate things, and this way we have data. And to me, actually, this year I will be more analytical this year. This is my, you know, one of my, you know, things this year. I want to be more analytical with our marketing activities, with many things, because too often we decide based on emotion, based on feelings, and not based on, you know, rational part, so the data. And it's good, I mean, emotions are fine and everything is great, but data is really important and should, you know, be a factor in your decisions and also in life and in business. And this way that gives me this, you know, this, it also primes me to be more analytical at work. You know, I'm doing this, you know, for my work and my private life. But then, you know, at work, doing, you know, all these activities that I do, I will be more rational and more, you know, data-driven. than before.
Yeah, but one point I want to stress is the private life stuff, because for some reason like people find it quite natural to track data and think about data and analyze trends over time in business, because now this is business, this is important. But isn't your life and other aspects of it important? Like, that seems like if this is a useful thing, then it should be more universally applicable. And like, sure, it's a rather nerdy way to think of this, but hey, like I find a lot of value in this, in thinking of it this way, not just at work, but in life in general, to like, if you want to improve in something, if you want to like make a habit, you know, track it, like track it and review it, right? If you want to lose weight or just, you know, anything, just track it and review it, the feedback loop, right? Both the feedback and the loop. And there's really, you know, it's unusual, but that's why we discuss stuff like that on the show. Like, that's actually a legitimate tool to use, and not something, you know, only relevant in the domain of business.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like switching from the weekly, you know, numbers sheet which I already had to daily wasn't really a big deal, because, you know, I already was tracking things kind of, and I wanted to track them more accurately. But I would say that for anyone, you know, who's listening here to start, you can just do really a simple simple rows and columns with simple ticks to track. I mean, yeah, to just when you want to start a new habit, like to see which days you manage to do the habit. And this way, if you don't have 100% success rate, it's fine. But when you start, you know, seeing that, you know, streaks, you know, that you're just hitting, you know, some like 2-3 times in a row, you can do that. It's something like what we said, you know, we track if we wake up at a certain time, and yeah, it's really helpful, because then you can see, you know, this entire week, okay, how many times I managed to wake up, you know, at 7 a.m. for example, out of last 6 days I managed to wake up 4 times at 7 a.m. sharp. Two days I failed, I woke up later. So but for example, the week before I did only 3 times, and this way I can really, you know, see the pattern and see if I'm improving and if I'm just creating the habit. So for me, just like making this spreadsheet a tool for a habit formation tool is already a great device, a great tool for that.